Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor, with another episode of Hardwood Handicappers. Today is Friday, February 20th. It is 9:15 a.m. Eastern, and I am joined by Kelly Bidlin, co-host of A Numbers Game and co-host of the Long Shots podcast. Kelly is joining me to talk through some NBA stuff tonight. We have a lot of picks to get to. I also want to get his thoughts on some tanking stuff, so we'll talk a little bit about that. Kelly, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Always glad to be back on with you on Hardwood Handicappers. And yeah, man, we got a lot to talk about. It's just, it's amazing. We take an all-star break. You feel like you've talked about every little thing that you can for a week and a half for the NBA. And then we get one night of games back and news out of the league. And oh, man, there's a whole lot of things to talk about.
Yeah, I kind of want to start with the tanking stuff. I mean, I have four picks for tonight. Kelly has a bunch too. So if you came here for picks, you're going to get them all in a second. But I wanted to start with the tanking stuff just because I think last night was a really good example of like what we're looking at the rest of the season. Like, I wrote an article for VSiN.com about this. There are eight teams right now with zero incentive to win. And it's almost making it so that like there's these massive 10-game slates and like, you know, 9-game slates and all that. But like, it really just kind of gets whittled down to like four or five, because there are games that are completely untouchable. I mean, last night, three of the eight teams that I wrote about lost like big and did not cover. The Nets lost by 28 to the Cavs. Bulls lost by 9 to the Raptors. They were a little bit more competitive. Kings lost by 37 to the Magic. And then I forget what that last game was, but it was like the Pacers facing the Wizards in a game where just one of them had to win. Yeah. So that wasn't, you know, a good example, but like it is a real problem. I know every single podcast in the world is talking about it the rest of the season. I don't want to go too crazy about it, but like when you hear me say that I'm skipping games completely, like this is the reason why.
No, Zach, I think, no, you're not giving yourself enough credit. I think a Pacers-Wizards game is the perfect example, right, of like maybe you can try to dig into a, you know, where you've got a real team playing in one of these tanking teams. Okay, maybe you could tie in a money line into a parlay, or maybe you're thinking about different ways to attack that. I think that one's a perfect example of like, oh, it's a Pacers-Wizards game. You're both going to try to lose. Like, I don't want any part of this game whatsoever. I would rather consider a 14-point spread than a coin toss game like that between two teams who, yes, want to lose.
Yeah, you're right. I would rather lay points with a non-tanky team against a tanky team. And I should say that like something that I have been going to a little bit more often, I want to say like yesterday was like maybe the second time all year, but like first quarter player props for good players against these tanking teams are going to probably be more profitable than full game player props. Because like last night, for example, I had James Harden over 2.5 assists in the first quarter. Like, I knew he wasn't going to play the fourth quarter. There was a really good chance he wasn't going to play the fourth quarter. So I would rather play like a juicy over on a quarter I know he's going to play than go the whole game and just have him sitting the fourth quarter and I'm sitting there angry.
Yeah, it's another great point by you, Zach. I think because I'm sure you've been asked a million questions about this too. How do you attack these tanking teams, right? And like, I wish it was an easy answer that applied to all of them. Besides the whole like, yeah, I don't know, throw whoever they're playing against in a money line parlay. But like, you know, if you did that with the Jazz Heat game, like you know, before the break, like, yeah, it's gonna burn you every once in a while too. So, like, every one of these cases is individually different, right? Like, we did see the Jazz doing that whole thing with their starters for 2.5 quarters, you know, and then benching guys down the stretch. That's a very different situation than what the Washington Wizards are. So each one of these teams is, I think, is a unique case in itself and how they're going to do things. So I think there's just no, I know everybody wants to say, hey, these teams are tanking, this has got to be easy money. I just don't think there's a blanket answer for every single team on a nightly basis. I think you need to take them a little bit more individually. I like that thought process, though, with the props. There's a lot of player prop ways to attack this too, like the one you just brought up, or look live unders, right? Harden goes off and starts having a good game, live unders on him the rest of the way, because you know he's going to get yanked in the fourth quarter or sit down the fourth, especially on the front end of a back-to-back.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say, like, I wrote the article kind of, I called it like the no-fly list, and I said that these are teams like not to bet the rest of the season, but like there will be numbers where it makes sense to back all those teams at some point, and probably in a week or two, like, we'll notice some patterns with rotations and make it a little bit easier, even with, you know, like G League players and like fringe NBA players being in and out of these lineups. Like, we will kind of notice some things that are developing that'll make it a little bit easier to bet those teams.
Yep. Yeah, I completely agree.
Okay, well, let's talk about some actual basketball for tonight. I think we both have something in this Cavaliers-Hornets game, which kind of kicks things off at 7 p.m. Eastern. I have a player prop. I think that you have a side. What do you have for this one?
Yeah, I did lay 4.5 with the Cavs last night. I think that's out to like 6, 6.5 now. So, I think there are a lot, as we go down the stretch here, there are going to be a lot of kind of money line parlay opportunities. So, if that number's too rich for you, which it's getting there for me, Zach, I think it, six, anything over 6 is probably too much for me. Worth reminding people, I guess, just for me personally, I don't want to speak for everybody, but going into the All-Star break, it's kind of staked down. You don't really know where these guys' heads are at. It's kind of the same way for me, Zach, coming out of the All-Star break, too. It's just you don't know how some of these teams, what they've been doing over the break, who's really been trying, what have coaches been trying in practice that we're not seeing at all. A lot of these teams with the trade deadline just occurring, too, looking very different. I mean, like the Chicago Bulls are basically an entirely different team at this point, right? Like, so all that factored in, I think you need to be a little careful coming out of the break. But still, yeah, I bet the overnight on the Cavs, late 4.5. This team looks great with Harden in there so far. 8-2 over their last 10, 7-3 against the spread over that time. As you had brought up earlier, the big part of this one for me was watching last night. Okay, how many minutes are these Cavs starters really going to end up going? They don't really have to press it. Meanwhile, you get the Hornets pushed the entire time by the Houston Rockets, and they're still going to be out guys with suspensions tonight. So yeah, Cavs 4.5. Still respect for our Hornets, man. Like I still think you got to be a little careful with that offense, especially. I think that offense is going to be here throughout the entire rest of the season. But yeah, tonight with the suspensions back to back for them, the Cavs later minutes for their starters. I did lay the 4.5.
Yeah, careful is a good word for the Hornets with the way that LaMelo Ball drives. I think that's like been the most shocking thing I've seen on social media ever is that he just like cannot drive a car. It's like in a movie when like a kid gets behind the wheel with like a wiffle ball bat, like puts it down on the gas. But I don't understand how he's so bad at driving. But yeah, regardless,
I thought you were talking about like driving the basketball at first.
Oh,
this
no.
This is a thing on social media.
He can't drive a car.
Like he doesn't have a driver's license?
He's a bad driver. He's a really bad driver. Like he gets into like this Hummer or like something he has. It's like this massive car just like speeds out wherever he is. You got to watch it. There's like a compilation of him being a really bad driver. And he got into an accident like the other day.
I was going to say,
he just went like right from like whatever car he was driving, which I want to say was like a Hummer, and just gets right into a Lamborghini and like drives off. I don't understand. It was like he was Batman or something. I don't understand.
This is also somehow the least surprising LaMelo news to me ever, right?
Because he used to like go-kart on like the top of his roof or whatever.
If you were like, hey, pick one player who's like got a lot of nice cars that can't drive at all and like keeps getting in trouble with it. Yeah, LaMelo Paul would be on the top 5 on that list.
Yeah, driving is probably a confusing word to say about a basketball player. Yeah, I do.
So it was first like, all right.
I agree with you, though. I really like the Cavaliers in this game. I'm going to end up on the Cavaliers in a money line parlay. It's just a matter of what it's going to be with. There are a few games I'm kind of eyeing. We'll talk about later. I do have Jared Allen, though, over 15.5 points in this game at minus 101. He's averaging 21.8 points per game since Harden got to Cleveland. I freaking love like the pick and roll chemistry that I've seen between the two of them already. And like you said, there are some suspensions for the Charlotte side, one of them being Musa Diabate, who is probably their best, center and a good just kind of energy big on both ends of the floor. Without him, I really would expect Allen to have another big game. And he kind of did last night. I mean, before being pulled, because that was a 28-point win for Cleveland, he had 15 points in 24 minutes. He's kind of the biggest beneficiary, I think, of getting to play with both Harden and Mitchell. And I know that Mobley didn't play a lot last night, but I wouldn't be shocked if they do end up sitting him tonight just because it was a calf strain. I have not seen an injury report yet, but like I know that all these teams are petrified of what can happen if you play a guy through an injured calf. So I know there's a chance he sits and it ends up being Allen primarily at the center spot.
Yeah, I think that's a great call. If that is, it does feel a little too easy at this point, but especially if Mobley ends up missing tonight, maybe even not, I'll probably tail you on that Allen play.
Yeah, it'll probably go up to like 17.5 or something if Mobley doesn't play, and then it becomes scary because it's just a guy that doesn't have the ball in his hands a lot. But I do think that he should end up getting there.
Yeah, it could also look like points, rebounds, like you said. No Moose in there. Like he should have a huge night on the glass too, you would think.
Yep. All right. Well, let's talk about the Heat at the Hawks now. This is a game where Miami's laying 3 on the road. This game tips at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. The Hawks won in Philly last night, beat me. I had the 76ers. But yeah, what do you have in this one? I know you have a lean here.
Yeah, leaning here. I might end up betting this. I'm pretty sure I've considered the same bet like the last two times the Heat and Hawks have matched up as well. It hasn't gone very well over the course of the season. But I'm looking at the under. These are two of the top three teams at pace when it comes to Miami and Atlanta. But this number's getting big. Zach, what are we at? 243.5. You're talking about, very middling offenses, or really bottom half offenses right now over the past few weeks. That Heat defense back to playing well, fourth best defense going back over the past month. So I like that. Haven't hit this total in a game this season, but they flirted with it. The total's gone over 4 of Atlanta's last 5 against Miami. That's got me scared a little bit. Total's gone under 4 of Miami's last 6, though. I think this Miami team's getting back to kind of their roots relying on that defense. So I'm going to have my eye on this number today. I saw it even just going up this morning, so there's no reason to rush to jump in on this one, but am eyeing the under in Heat and Hawks.
Yeah, I did see a 245.5. So if that's an under you want to go to, but yeah, it is going up only.
Like you were talking about with tanking teams, Zach. Like, I'm not really in love with this bet. I bet this small earlier in the season in one of their matchups. Same thing, and lost on it. Like, I'm not, but like the tanking teams, there's always a number where this gets to be too much, and that's kind of what I'm looking for today at some point.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good call. I mean, like, the Heat are just a really strange team to me this season because, like, they are still very good defensively, but they still fly over because they play at such
just
a high
pace.
Like, it's a weird combination of,
it's
like,
it's a very defense. Weird combination. Yeah. Very weird.
Yeah. And, like, the Hawks are just, can they score? And I still don't think this team is good offensively. So I lean under as well.
Yeah.
I took Bam Adebayo to go over 28.5 points and rebounds in this one at -122. It's another one, like, it almost feels a little too easy, but over 28.5 points and rebounds in 12 of his last 13 games, averaging 32.9 in those games. And the Hawks have been really bad this year defending at the basket. They're 24th in the NBA defending at the rim, where Bam obviously as a center scores, you know, a good chunk of his points. And then Atlanta also struggles with pick and roll big men, which Bam will run a lot of pick and roll as the roller. And they are also very weak when it comes to both, you know, rebounds allowed, whether that's defensive or offensive. So I think that Bam's going to have a pretty big game in points and rebounds. I mean, it would be nice if he ends up playing a lot of the minutes at center alone, but I know that there's going to be some bigs next to him at some point, but I still think he's going to end up going over.
Yeah, I like that one. This will be the Heat definitely on that kind of short list of teams to watch down the stretch here. See if it... I'm open to being, as we were kind of texting about last night, I'm open to being convinced by anybody at this point, Zach, because, like, I have no confidence in, like, any team winning the NBA championship right now. I have no confidence in, like, some of these lower tier teams pushing the upper tier teams. You know, like the Eastern Conference, perfect example. We were all texting about it last night. It's like, yeah, Detroit, New York, Cleveland, Boston, like, yeah, I got question marks about all of them, but I also think they're a clear tier above, like, everybody else that we're talking about. So I don't know. Interesting to watch teams like the Heat. Can you actually put anything together down the stretch here?
Yeah, the only ones that I like that aren't in that top four are, like, Philly, if they are healthy, which is a major if. It's like, you might as well not even talk about it until the playoffs. And then
we like Philly if Embiid's there. We like Milwaukee potentially if Giannis is there. They could always do something, right? And then, you know, the big question, can Charlotte keep up this level of play?
Yep, absolutely. If you're looking to sharpen your edge this NBA season, VSiN Pro is where to start. Get advanced analytics, player prop projections, and expert insights used by serious bettors every day. Try it out for only $9.99 for your first month and see what smart bettors are using to beat the books. Head to vsin.com/subscribe and check out all of our subscription options. I keep saying it, but this is a great offer, the $9.99 intro offer right now. You'll get the MLB guide and then a lot of our March Madness stuff. So you're kind of gaming the system a little bit. But yeah, really, really good offer. Let's move on now to another game that I probably would not want to be talking about unless I found a player prop, but Bucks at Pelicans, 8 p.m. Eastern. This is kind of a game where, like, it's borderline tanking teams, but they're not. They're just tanking caliber in terms of, like, the rosters, I guess, right now. But it's no Giannis again for Milwaukee. No Miles Turner for Milwaukee as well. And when Giannis has not played this season, we have seen some big performances out of guys like Ryan Rollins and Kevin Porter Jr. I usually go to Rollins, but who I am going to here is Porter Jr. to have over 7.5 assists at plus 115. He had 9 assists when he played the Pelicans on February 4th. This is a New Orleans team that's a bottom five team defensively, defending at the rim and guarding both in spot up threes and transition. Not really good. It's just a really bad defensive team. And I just think that this is going to be something of a close game. And if it is, that means we should see some big minutes for Porter, who has proven to be a pretty good playmaker for this team. So I don't want to go too much about, you know, talk too much about this, yeah, you know, awful game, but I do think Porter Jr. could put up some numbers.
Yeah, this is mildly concerned with that one, Zach. It would just be like, man, you got a lot of trust in the other Milwaukee Bucks scoring the basketball. But yeah, the New Orleans Pelicans, not exactly a defensive force to be reckoned with. It's a sad game. I wish two teams that I've bet way too much over the past few years and have now just completely sold out on like both of them.
Yeah, the Pelicans are, it's like the saddest thing because like I did write that story and I like wrote the 8 teams and it's like they are clearly right there with all of them, but it's like no incentive to lose.
There's no incentive.
Like a veteran roster. Yeah.
Because they're dumb trade. There's no incentive. Yeah.
It's so strange. All right. Yeah, we won't keep you talking about that one for long. So let's move on to the Clippers at the Lakers at 10 p.m. Eastern. And this is one that I was actually kind of monitoring with, you know, the Cavaliers in mind before, because It could go one of two ways for me, to be honest. I wouldn't be surprised if I end up on either of these sides because I like the Clippers if Kawhi ends up playing, and he has played some back-to-backs this year, even recently. And if Kawhi is out there tonight, there's a chance that they cover this game. So maybe I would like buy it up a little and parlay it with the Cavs money line and just have a few extra points. Otherwise, if Kawhi doesn't play, I might use the Lakers money line because I just don't see how the Clippers can possibly win this game without Kawhi. But yeah, it's an interesting one. Lakers were off last night. Clippers beat the Nuggets in LA. They just continue to win, even without Darius Garland, who sounds like he's coming back very soon. I continue to kind of be very impressed with them. And it's interesting because I thought like at one point this year, I wrote like a trade ideas column. I did like a trade ideas video on the Hardwood Handicappers channel. And I mentioned like, maybe you move on from Zubats and you roll with Lopez and Niederhauser and, you know, just pick up a bunch of assets. That's the one trade they made. I don't know. It's just it's the center position has been solid and Mathurin's looked awesome. So I'm interested in seeing what they look like the rest of the season.
Yeah, come on, Zach, give yourself a pat on the back. What was that? What was that point prop you had last night on Mathurin? 18.5? Something.
It was
like
14.5 when I got it.
14.5. And then dude scores 38 points in 34 minutes. Yeah, Zach Cohen had that one covered, no problem. yeah, good call. I'm interested to see how some of those pieces work in with the Clippers down the stretch. I refuse to take the Clippers seriously at all, though. Here, like it's the I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm getting a lot of the, you know, we're coming out of football. People are just paying attention, locking into the NBA, and they're seizing on the whole like, oh, yeah, like Kawhi's actually had a really great year, but like it's just the games missed at the beginning. And it's like everybody likes to throw out the like, yeah, like Kawhi's having an MVP like level season and he is having a great season. But you know what gives me no faith in Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers going forward, Zach, is when the ownership in front office like send out Zubac and Harden at the trade deadline. Like if the owner's telling you he doesn't have any faith in what Kawhi can do with this team, why should I have any faith in what Kawhi can do with this team long term? So I think game to game, obviously we're bettors game to game. We can still bet. Just like I'm not getting up or excited about anything with the Clippers more than the play-in tournament.
Yeah, I'm not doing what I did last year where I talked myself into them being one of the best teams in the league. I agree that Kawhi, like over the last month, 2 months, like maybe has been the best player
in
the NBA. But like that doesn't really matter. Like you have to be good the entire season. So like,
but Bomber sent out Zubac and Harden at the trade deadline. Like if that does not signal that we don't think we can win, I don't know what is.
Yep. And it was like, if it was Harden that asked out, like being in the locker room and thinking you can't win is also a major red flag. So, yeah, I agree with you. I don't expect anything from them long term. But like, there's a chance that they're like the sixth best team in the West right now, and like they'll still be, you know, a team that covers. So I do think 7 would be too much if Kawhi plays. So we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they hold him out.
Yeah, let me get off my soapbox and actually get to the game here itself. You nailed it completely. This is one that's kind of on my short list today. That if if Kawhi gets ruled out, yes, I think it's an automatic Lakers money line into a parlay for me as well. I like you said, though, I don't think I'm expecting it. It has been another one of those kind of pleasant surprises from Kawhi, as he has played in some of these games. So I'm not really expecting it, but it's definitely on my kind of watch list today.
Yeah, and they have covered in four straight, the Clippers, and they are 2-1 both straight up and against the spread versus the Lakers. So it has been a pretty kind matchup to them. And yeah, it just seems like a lot of points. This spread is almost what makes me think he's not going to play, but because I just don't see a 7-point difference between the two if he's out there. So,
well, you could say back to back, but we're just coming out of the break, right? Yeah. I agree with you. It says that more to me as well.
Yeah, but keep an eye on it. I mean, if you're listening, like I'll you know, tweet something or at some point if I see Kawhi update, or if I add a play, I'll put it on the Pro Picks page or in the columns that I'm writing, you know, right after I get off this podcast. So I'll have something on this game eventually. Okay, I think the final game that we both have something that we actually are looking at is the Nuggets at the Trailblazers at 10 p.m. Eastern. And you have a lean. I have a play on Portland plus 105 on the money line. What did you have here?
Yeah, I like the I don't know if the same thing works for you, Zach, but like the NBA gambling mind process of this. When openers came out, I was like, man, like 2.5, 3 feels a little steep. I'm definitely leaning towards Portland. Let me watch, you know, watch this Nuggets game. Let it play out. I'll check back in the morning. You know, and then you're kind of, and then I'm kind of looking at it more in the morning. I'm like, you know what? No, like, screw the side. I actually like the total in this game. I think I'm going to go over in this game. And then, you know, you do the eventual, I bet so many openers, you don't get the luxury of seeing team totals, right? So, like, it's almost like out of sight, out of mind sometimes, yeah. Where you're like, then finally this morning, I'm like, well, then obviously the play, Kelly, is just to bet Blazers team total over. And I still haven't gotten to an actual bet on it, Zach, because then I was, like, locked in on that, and then I kept coming back to, like, yeah, but I still think I just like the game over better. So I think that's where I'm leaning, and that's where I'm going to end up. Agree with you, though. Lean to the Blazers side. I really wish, for all the bets I just talked about, I really wish that Shaedon Sharpe was playing in this game and we knew he was going to be out there. Kind of sucks that he's out. But, man, this Portland team, I'm loaded up on kind of win total stuff over on them rest of the season here. So we'll be rooting for them hard. Looks like Denny's going to go tonight. I think it's going to be key to watch him here over, especially over the next week, right? Is this back still a thing? And it matters a ton for Portland, matters a ton for the most improved player race to me, because he's missed multiple games in multiple different time periods with this back. I think we're close to what, if it gets a little bit more serious, Zach, that, okay, we shut him down or something like that. And I'm very nervous of that. For my bets on the overs on their win totals. But look, I think MIP is very, very much still up in the air and worth monitoring because of that situation. So, Denver, what is it, 2-5 now since Jokic returned? I think that checks out for the side. What does Cam Johnson go again tonight? I guess I have questions about that as they're working him still in. I think that's fair to wonder about. And then Denver's back to, you got Jokic back in the lineup. The turnovers still haven't gone down with him, right? 6 more for him last night. It's a huge number. It's clearly something. Look, I think the 65 game limit is we're seeing this play out, whether you like it or not, with Jokic here. I think they would have taken their time with him coming back a little bit more. He just feels, you know, definitely a little bit out of his normal basketball shape and form. I would say more form, right? Because the guy, especially shape, the guy's never relied on super athleticism, but he doesn't look like he's fully right or back with this team yet. But you know, you get those what you do get with him returning and the turnovers is a Denver team profile looking a little bit more like the team profile we're used to, where, hey, the offense is back to like kind of top five area. This defense, though, is back to those kind of like, you know, 20-something, you know, in that range. And that concerned me at 21 since they, over the past month, 21st best defensive rating. So, you know, like that part concerns me, leads me more towards the over team total over Blazers look. And both these teams have just been trendy over teams, too. I think it's seven of the last 9 over for Denver and 7 straight for Portland.
Yeah, they've been a little bit more like the Mike Malone team than the Adelman team from last year, where it's like they're like bottom five defensively instead of like, you know, top 20, which was like the difference between them being able to go out and beat good teams or not. So definitely a little bit concerning for Denver. I do think they're going to figure it out. It's just a matter of kind of like getting Aaron Gordon back. But I did look at this game and just kind of thought that, you know, the Blazers are a solid defensive team. I kind of like Donovan Klingon to defend Nikola Jokic tonight. I think that that's
theory, really interesting. Right? I agree with you.
He's like almost like if you could build a player to try to guard him in the around the rim, that it would be him. Like, I'll probably get into foul trouble and end up being off the court in like 5 minutes. So it'll end up looking dumb for this. But I just kind of think
I love any of those types of conversations because I completely agree 100% with everything Zach Cohen just said. And I will not be surprised at all if Nikola Jokic puts up 42 and 12 tonight, you know, because he's Nikola Jokic.
Yeah. He'll just flip the ball up over his shoulder like 40 times and just go.
But I agree. In theory, he's like one of those perfect bodies to like slow down Jokic for sure.
Yeah. And he's been really, really good. Kind of the reason that I think that Portland's kind of here too is that it's not just Abdia. It's been a big part of him as well. And I did right here, like Scoot's been really good since he came back. 14 points per game, 5.5 assists per game, and only 20 minutes per game in 4 games. Like, he's been great. And I kind of like the way that like him and Drew look together just because they're fast, they're tenacious. And I think that that's going to be good against the Nuggets, who pretty bad defensively, like in isolation. So like quicker guards could definitely trouble them. So Giannis is a tough spot for them. And I think it's funny you mentioned the 65 game rule, because I'm not sure, you know, they want Joker to be out there on the second leg of a back-to-back, but I'm sure he will, because he can only miss one more game the rest of the year. And I don't think he's going to miss one unless he's like legitimately injured that night.
Yeah, I completely agree. And there is a chance, you know, for any bets against Denver, right? Like, I think they're going to roll him out there as much as they possibly can, even if that means, Zach, something we rarely see with Jokic, where it's maybe he's playing less minutes. You know what I mean? Maybe he's just logging less minutes, but they're gonna force him in those games. And I'm glad you brought him up. Absolutely, Scoot Henderson on kind of my watch list for the end of the year, too, right? Can this guy finally, because, yeah, the numbers, I mean, there's some good and some bad. There's still some bad with Scoot Henderson, but the numbers have looked good. I'm excited by it too, Zach. And like, can you actually put something on a resume here for the rest of the season that can get people excited about your future again here with this team, or just period?
Yeah, I think that's going to be huge for Portland moving forward, just deciding what they want to do with the next version of this team, especially with, like, you know, Schmitz being in there, like in their front office, probably like thinking that he could probably find a guard in this draft, because it's a really good guard draft coming up. So I think Scoot's got to prove himself. I know you want to hit some big picture stuff, but before we do that, attention to any listeners who are new to VSiN. Signing up for our free daily newsletter is a great way to catch up. Delivered straight to your inbox every morning, VSiN's newsletter offers picks, data, and strategies for the day's betting menu. Sign up for free now at vsin.com/newsletter and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That's vsin.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSiN. I know you wanted to talk a little bit about MVP and Rookie of the Year, so what do you got?
Well, MVP, we get some movement last night, right? We get news that SGA is going to be out for a little, what was it, a week, right? They said one more week, Zach? I think that's what
I'm not sure. I don't think I saw that come down, to be honest.
Okay. Maybe I'm just making, well, we know he's going to miss a couple games. I know that much at least. So MVP, he's down to minus 145, Jokic plus 330. These are over at DraftKings. Cade Cunningham plus 550 after a massive game last night in New York. Luka Doncic 28-1. Victor's coming down a little bit to 30-1, as he's also going to be trying to stay qualified for these awards down the stretch. I've got a defensive player of the year bet on him. So yeah, I just wanted to bring it up. I don't know that there's a bet on the board right now. I think it's fascinating. The Cade number's getting pretty short. Look, I have 100-1 on him from earlier in the season, so that would be awesome. It's not a big bet, but still, it's 100-1. So that would be great. I don't know. I just wanted to bring it up because we did have big game from him last night. Odds movement. Any bets that you think you'll be making in that market here soon or down the stretch?
I've like sprinkled I was a real sprinkle, like a $5 bonus bet on like Jaylen Brown at 60-1. Just because I'm like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we just don't see Joker or SGA reach the game limit, and that kind of concerned me. And I thought that like it was a little bit more open between the guys outside of that, but I do think that maybe last night kind of reinforced that if it's not those two, it should be Cade. I mean, Cade is just so damn good and like consistently torching like those, you know, the they're not, I want to say, good defensive wings on the Knicks, but they haven't been. Like Bridges and OG, like they just both can't guard him. Like, I don't get it.
It's inexcusable.
I was so frustrated with the Knicks losing last night.
Me too. I know me and you were both on them. Again, we spend a week and a half during the break and, you know, everybody's asking about the Eastern Conference. I don't know about you. I kept saying the same damn thing, though. I'm like, look, I don't have bets. I think it's one of those top four teams most likely at this point. You don't want to see the Hornets, but I still think it's one of those four teams most likely to win it. I keep going back to the New York Knicks. I can't get over the fact that they have the most talent on their roster. And just last night was a perfect example of just like this Knicks team. I'll never understand it. It's frustrating, yeah. Zach. Like, I'll never get it. Like, it's of course they overpaid, right, for Bridges and OG. But even at the time, I was kind of like, whatever. You're getting, like, great two-way guys that are long wing players that you're going to be able to bet that should work nicely off of a big with Cat and a smaller guard with Jalen Brunson to help defensively. And actually, it is something they've been doing recently. I know the Knicks during that stretch. That good stretch where not allowing much in the paint and at the rim. And I think that does start out there on the perimeter with some of those defenders. But God, watching that game last night, it was like a complete 180. I felt like immediately on everything I said, I'm like, no, this team continues to like disappoint. They suck. They can't play together for whatever reason. Cat gets all the blame and like he gets a lot of the blame, like rightfully so. And then also times I'm like people never come down on Bridges or Ananobi, it feels like. And I don't get it. Like, they're getting paid a ton, too. You traded a lot for these guys. Like, they don't get criticized like Cat does, and it actually kind of drives me nuts.
Yeah, I'd like, especially ever since I've been doing this, and I'm sure you do the same because you do a numbers game every day, I've been trying not to get as high and low as I normally would, like, one-game performances throughout the course of the year. But, like, last night was just so concerning to me.
It's an inexcusable loss.
Yeah, like Jalen Duren and Isaiah Stewart are out. Like, right. How do you not just dominate inside? And then all you need to do is contain Cade, and you just have no chance of doing it. Like, yeah, they got those two guys. They paid a fortune for them, and neither of them could guard the best player on an opposing team. We kind of dealt with this in Phoenix where it's like Bridges was the wing stopper and like everyone thought, you know, he could guard anyone. And then Luka just torched him in the playoffs. Yeah. Like, it was like there was nobody even there. Not like to rip on him, like he's a good player, but like, yeah, these guys are both probably making too much money. And then they like have no idea what to do with Cat on offense. And I say all this and they'll probably go out and beat Detroit in the playoffs or something, like, because this is what happened last year with Boston. They couldn't beat him in the regular season and they beat him in the playoffs. But there's weird about this Knicks team right now.
Yeah, there is, and it makes me flip-flop. And, you know, to Detroit, like, take nothing away from Detroit, right? Like, they looked like a much more prepared team last night that were coached up and ready for this situation. And guess what? Even without Stewart and Durant in there, they still bullied the New York Knicks, right? It was, Cat gets the ball, go make a play or hit him. Just hit him and frustrate him. I mean, Cat gets so easily frustrated and then just starts flailing everywhere. And I wouldn't want to call any foul on him either when he starts doing that or for him either. And it's just like they got bullied. They got bullied and Stewart and Durant weren't even in the game. And like you said, like, Kate, you know, it's Kate. It's only Kate and you can't stop him. Like, it's wild.
Yeah, and I just continue to go like through the conversation in my own head. Like every single night I watch the Pistons go out and beat a good team because like I see a top four Eastern Conference team. Like I flat out do. Like I see a team that can reach the NBA Finals. But everything like that you look at when you look at their resume suggests that they are the number one team in the conference and they are going to reach the NBA Finals. And I can't get there for some reason, but they like continue to put in these performances where they're like, you're an idiot. That like we are the best
team. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, Zach, but, you know, I got to run soon. I want to do 2 minutes on Rookie of the Year, though, because I thought our text messages were fascinating yesterday. We had Drew Dinsick come on a numbers game earlier in the week, and he was like, watch out. Like, I think they're going to be sitting Cooper Flagg, like, down the stretch a lot. And the Mavs are going to try to get in this tanking race. And almost immediately, I was like, no way. There's no way. You are not going to possibly take away a Rookie of the Year award just to be able to work yourself into this conversation, too. I don't know where you stand on this, but I find this beyond fascinating to watch the rest of the year because, to me, this race is still too close between Cooper Flagg and Conn Kmipl for the Mavs to screw around and try to get both, right? Of course, the Mavs, that's what they want to do. They want to get Rookie of the Year for Cooper Flagg, and they want to join the rest of those tanking teams. But, like, I was shocked to see he was already not going to play tonight. And, like, are they really going to mess around with this? And do we think Cooper Flagg's okay with that?
I don't think so. I should say, like, if you took Flag, like I gave out Flag a few times early in the year, also told you guys when to like back Knipple and just kind of set up a situation where you're profiting on both. I would suggest still doing that at plus 500 right now. Don't be in a situation where you don't win anything. But I do think the Flag's going to play the rest of the season because I think you can have both. I think you can. I think you can continue to develop Flag and still lose. Like, they're just not good enough to beat Western Conference teams every night. And I do think I said it to you guys, to you and Jonathan Von Tobel in our group text, like, we saw early in the year when they kind of experimented with him at point guard, everyone kind of ripped Jason Kidd for it. Then all of a sudden now he's like reading the game way better and looks way more comfortable with the ball in his hands. There's just ways they can develop him throughout the rest of the season and just have him ready to be like a freaking monster next year. And I just think that they should really do that. I think it's just valuable reps for a player that I think is like, Kyrie Irving said it himself. This is like, we're talking like a historic player. Like, and there's no way to talk, like, to do it justice to talk about how good he's been this year and how good he might be. Like, it's almost LeBron-like.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm on the same page as you. I think you could lose enough games. I think you could easily lose enough games playing Cooper Flagg. And I would love to know what's going on inside that building right now. Because if this is really a long-term plan, you'd have to talk to Cooper Flagg about it. And one of two things. If Cooper Flagg's on board with that, oh boy, do I lose a whole lot of respect for him right away. And I think voters would take it that way too. Yeah. Tanking is so much in the national conversation right now. One of the easiest ways that you could go to make a statement against tanking or something like that. Be like, wow, I voted for Con Knipple for Rookie of the Year because at least they're playing their guys down the stretch. I just think it's fascinating to watch because there's also the possibility, right, that they do this and Cooper Flagg is not with about this. And if you are talking about a guy that we think could be as the star potential of him as he does, if you end up ruining a Rookie of the Year campaign for the kid, man, I don't know about you, Zach. I wouldn't be very forgiving for that franchise for the rest of my career.
Yeah, you don't want to piss him off. And I also just think this team has lost a lot of goodwill with the fans, and just sitting him the rest of the season, giving them nothing to watch might be, you know, problematic too. Like, this fan base like absolutely hates their team right now. So
yeah,
I know that's something to consider too. But I know you do have to get out of here. So I'll recap the best bets quickly. I have Jared Allen over 15.5 points versus the Hornets. Bam Adebayo over 28.5 points and rebounds versus the Hawks. Kevin Porter Jr. over 7.5 assists versus the Pelicans, and Blazers money line at +105 versus the Nuggets. And I believe Kelly's only official play is Cavaliers -4.5.
Yeah, only Cavs. Look, I think if you're looking for other money lines, like we talked about, potentially Lakers, I think Timberwolves, you could throw in a money line too, parlay too, if you wanted to. And then I will do something with that Blazers Nuggets game. I just haven't figured it out. I think game over is where I'm going to end up though.
Awesome. All right. Well, Kelly, I really appreciate you joining me, and I hope everybody has, you know, a successful night betting. We went through 3-2 last night, minor profit. So hopefully we do a little bit better tonight and come back, you know, for Monday episode of Hardwood Handicappers, and make sure you check out the website for all my sides and totals and player props over the weekend.